Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. Deborah Fine is our guest. She's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. And she is one of the top communication experts in the world. She's the author of The Fine Art of Small Talk, How to Start a Conversation, Keep It Going, etc., etc. And she's here to talk to us about how we can do a better job of communicating. She says in this election year, so there are some conversation killers that we should avoid. Deborah, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. I'm glad to be here. There's some conversation killers to avoid just strictly in the workplace, you know, whether it's our business or whether we're a participant in small business that we can avoid. But the one that just with the election year upon us, I think a lot of us want to just talk over somebody else and offer our
opinion. You mean like a talk show host?
Not you, darling. You're the best there is. But it's one thing to try to, you know, I think I would call it a know-it-all. But this can go when I say about
politics. You mean the topper?
Well,
you know who the topper is, don't you?
Who's the topper?
The topper is somebody who always tops whatever story you're telling. They top it.
Well, that, you know, that's another great example of, you know, oh, gosh, you know, I've got so much on my plate, you know, with resources down, gasoline prices up, and, you know, it's just so hard to find the right kinds of people these days to recruit. It's just been brutal out there. And then the other man or woman across the table says, oh, that's nothing. You should see what's going on for us right now. We're faced with this and this and this and this. So
that's the topper. Yeah.
You know, I joke around a lot, Jim, that you know, we do hear that a lot, and that's sort of a macho response to top somebody. And us women, we have our own unique way of doing this too.
I'm sure you'll
be familiar with it in your listeners when you hear this. So
what is it?
Okay, so I'm talking to she's a colleague. She could be a client. Who knows? And I say to her, so how have you been, Mary? And, oh, yeah, I've been great. I went to New York on a business trip, and I went shopping, got this whole new ensemble. Whole new, you know, $385, Deborah. Can you believe it? It was just unbelievable. What a deal. And my response, because I'm her friend, is, Mary, oh, you're kidding. Oh, that's great, because I went shopping this weekend, too. Lowman's, look at this, $28. Isn't that great? So, you know, we women are terrible, because you'll say you went on a trip, and I'll say, well, instead of asking about your trip, I'll say, oh, we went on a trip too. Or if you landed a deal, you'll land a deal, and I'll go, you landed a deal? Oh, that's great, because, you know, I landed a deal last week, and you should have seen it. Oh, my gosh. So, no, you think it's funny? It's not.
I have a friend who does that, and I call him, and I call him. He answers the phone and immediately starts talking about the drama in his life. And after about 5 minutes, I say, "Can I say what I called about to talk about now?"
Do you say that though? Really?
I actually do. Oh yeah, I said that this last week. I said, "Is it okay if I say what I called to you to talk about now?"
Does he laugh or does?
Oh yeah, of course he does. No, he knows he's a drama queen. But
well, you know, there is men. I don't have the experience that men do this, but women, and I know you didn't call me about gender, but I've done a lot of work in this area.
We like talking about gender as long as I don't get hurt.
Against a woman, you should start worrying now, my friend. But I, you know, I've heard about you. But okay, so women have, you know, a woman will often. I'm never certain with certain women when they say, Deborah, so how are things? Because a lot of women actually say that and don't. What they really want to do is tell you how things are with them. So that's sort of what you're describing with your manner. Mm-hmm. Deborah, how are the kids? And I'll go, oh, they're great, thanks. Because I'm not sure, you know, do you really want to know how my kids are? You know, do we have time for that right now? Oh, great. Well, my kids, you should see what they did. They, you know, their GPA is out of, which, you know, well, let me, you know, in the era of politics, though, the know-it-all person or the know-it-all at the office, either one, and they both translate, is the person who says, you know, I just know that Obama doesn't have a chance. Okay, now that may be ultimately the case, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know that. Do we? I mean, does somebody have a crystal ball out there?
Right.
Or I know that McCain's going to pick What's from, why am I forgetting this right now? But
you're talking about Mitt Romney?
Yeah, Mitt Romney. I know he's going to pick Mitt Romney as his running mate. Okay, that is fine. If that's your opinion about Obama's chances and that's your opinion about who McCain's going to pick for a running mate, we're all entitled to our opinions, and I think that people get afraid about talking about using their strong opinions, whether it be about religion or politics, and I don't happen to agree. I think it's okay to be a person of strong opinions. I think where we drop the ball, Jim, is when we don't say, well, I think Mitt Romney's going to be McCain's running mate. What do you think, Jim,
exactly.
is the likelihood of that happening?
Exactly.
So I just need to ask your opinion, your thoughts, you know, what...
Don't make statements.
We're going to have a real conversation.
Don't make statements. Invite a conversation. But here's what has to happen, and this is really important, folks, as you're talking about these things, and especially... especially when you're talking to customers about these things, Deborah, that you've got to be a friend of mine. He didn't coin the term, but he likes to use this term a lot, and I agree with him. It's the term is intellectually honest.
Right.
If you're intellectually honest, that means that even though I might think Obama is the guy, and you may not think he's the guy, but if we're going to have an intellectually honest conversation, you're not going to discount everything I say. You're going to give whatever my opinion is a fair hearing, and then instead of saying you're wrong, you talk about why you think the other way.
Right.
And nobody gets mad, and I love those kinds of conversations, but unfortunately in politics and religion, it's hard to have those conversations, isn't it?
Well, it's hard because we don't restrict ourselves to conversations that you just described, and I don't
right.
think it requires that much discipline. It just means saying to yourself, "This is how I'm going to have a real conversation." But this will translate into the workplace, and we will often hear someone say. Even something as simple as, I know the Redskins don't have a chance. Now, I'm sitting in the cafeteria, let's say, or I'm just sitting at your desk, and you're my and you're the purchasing manager, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we have a little small talk before it's time for me to ask for the sale or ask what it's going to take to get your business or whatever's going to go on there today. But we started talking about the big game yesterday. Oh, boy, he couldn't seem to connect with anybody and da-da-da. And then I say, well, they don't have a chance this year anyways.
But mm-hmm.
Okay, the minute I say something like
throw
that.
Throw something down like that on the floor.
I know-it-all. So it can be about sports. It can be about the weather. Oh, this
mm-hmm.
global warming. I know, we're going to have hurricanes all season. It's going to be a terrible year. Okay, Deborah, you're entitled to your opinion about the weather. Oh, we got to go. Or sports
yep.
or anything it may be. But you need to ask for other people's thoughts as well.
Yep, and so ask questions before you throw down some big statement like, that darn George Bush, can you believe he did this again? Stand by, quick break, 20 after. I'm Jim Blessingame. We'll be right back with our good friend Deborah Fine. She's the author of The Fine Art of Small Talk.
Cannot be denied.
Welcome back. It's Eric Clapton bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. First one is where you can find the show and the archives and the articles and the Brain Trust members and the newsletter and the blog and all the things that we do here, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now. Type a question in, we'll give you answers. Immediately, instantaneously, hopefully even the one you want. So all those are available to you folks at no cost, no barrier to entry. You don't have to tell us who you are. You don't have to log in. You don't have to remember your password. Just show up, come on in and hang out. Use our stuff. We'll let you come in. Deborah Fine is with us. She's deposited lots of wisdom with us over the years. She's the author of The Fine Art of Small Talk. Deborah, give us your website and tell us where your book's available, please.
Thank you for asking, Jim. You're so good to me. It's deborahfine.com. That's deborafine.com. And it's The Fine Art of Small Talk is one book, and the newly released this year, The Fine Art of the Big Talk, which covers everything from conflict resolution.
And when am I going to get my copy of that, my autographed copy?
I sent it out. You don't have it.
I think I do.
And here's a note right here when I pulled up the file last night to get ready for this morning. I'm going to send out another copy.
Let me check it.
On eBay.
I know it exactly, and I'm going to need an autographed copy though.
Well, that's what I mean, 5 cents less. But.
That's right. That's what I tell people. If you let me sign my book for you, it'll be worth an extra quarter on eBay.
Is that what you say? I say 5 cents.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, let's get back to this fine talk thing. I really do believe that we've got a problem in this country on the debate front. Let me give you an example of something that's really unfortunate. Larry Summers was the president of Harvard.
Right.
He was at an event where they were discussing the role of women in
engineering.
Engineering and mathematics and chemistry and sciences. I mean, you're an engineer by education.
Right. And I really paid attention to this. I'm really excited that you're talking about it.
Well, and so he throws out something that's basically the truth. But even if it wasn't the way he said it, and he thought here he was, we're at this table, so to speak, we're having this discussion. This will either be, they'll either agree with me or somebody will say, okay, I'm not sure I know why you said that, but let's talk about it. Instead, ladies and gentlemen, he got fired.
Yeah.
They almost ran him out of the room on a rail. He lost his job because he said what he believed was the truth. Everybody who knows Larry Summers knows the man's not a chauvinist. He's not a pig. He's an enlightened guy. And whether you like his politics or not, he didn't mean anything by that. And they fired him for that.
You're absolutely right, Tim. It wasn't a reflection of his politics. He was making a reflection on as he saw, and I happen to agree with him, and I am used to be an engineer, mm-hmm. I'm not Harvard educated, but nonetheless a women engineer. He mentioned how few women in engineering there are, and then he elaborated from there. Well, that's a fact. I don't even want to say that that's an opinion. I think that's a fact. I sit on a lot of boards for that reason. I'm used as a role model. Young ladies get an engineering mm-hmm. C, you know, you can mm-hmm. still be cute and have fun and all this other stuff. It hasn't worked that well as you may. Maybe I'm not cute enough or something.
No. I completely got that.
We are so politically correct, and that's a whole different topic, I think. I think it's just horrible that we can't say what's on our mind. Now, it's okay that we have restrictions on being offensive, right? Using profanity. I think that's cool. You know, there's certain places that does not belong.
Right.
But to not be able to offer an expression of your opinion as someone who is viewed with high respect and a person who voices a lot of thoughts of society, someone who leads Harvard University, and he's not, or she, or whomever is not allowed to state their opinion. It's just horrible.
Why can't any civil topic be discussed?
I don't know. And yet, you know, I think the one problem. It's not a problem with the media. It's really the media has done this, and it's not a bad thing. It's just that everything everyone says, we now know about it. And
when we watch the television, though, and we see people debating these things, if you'll notice, invariably it devolves into a shouting match, whereupon I either put the mute button on or I change the channel. And what I think it is, I think a lot of it is, I don't just want to discuss this so I can get my ideas out and I can understand your ideas and maybe one of us will move the other's needle one way or the other. It's I want to win.
Right.
I want to win the discussion. And I'll tell you, the reason what you and I are talking about is very important is because of some of the things that are going on right now. The Obama campaign, ladies and gentlemen, is going to put a lot of pressure on what Deborah and I are talking about right now. And if you've read any of the recent the New Yorker ad, I mean the New Yorker cover, the New Yorker article, I have to take my hat off. I don't always agree with Maureen Dowd's politics, but she wrote a really good column this week about that. And she said, "Can we knock Barack?" Basically is what she was saying. And she was talking about how it's difficult for, she was actually saying it's difficult for the talk show host, the nightly show host, to make fun of Barack.
Right.
And, like they do Bush and Gore and Kerry and all those guys.
Right. I read that. And, you know, I don't even have that same point of view about the cover. It wasn't knocking Barack. It was knocking the people who knocked Barack.
But the satire, exactly, but it brought out the people who were on the opposite on right. into the spectrum, right. and it showed them to have their bias. But it proves our point, Deborah.
But, right.
The whole thing proves our point.
Proves that
and
we're right.
So, folks, you, exactly. We won this,
we're
didn't
right.
we, Deborah? You know, folks, let's all work a little harder to be more tolerant.
And this not always right.
This world needs a little more tolerance, don't they?
They do, but we don't always have to be right.
Yeah.
Ask your wife.
But it is nice. Thanks, Deborah. See you next time. Quick break. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.